It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to another edition of Wayne's Comics. This one is a special edition because this is the first of a two-part crossover with the SFP Now podcast. What's going to happen is I'm going to be talking with Ian Cullen, who's the head honcho of the SFP Now podcast, something that I also co-host, and he's also the head of the SciFiPulse.net website. We've been working together with Radical Publishing recently, and they've sent us some samples of their product, which we really, really like. So what we're going to do is we're going to review some of the books here, and then in an upcoming episode of SFP Now, we'll talk to some of the heads of Radical Publishing. Comics love nothing better than crossovers, so why not? So that's what we're going to do here. Of course, I'll also get into some of the recent releases of comics. We'll get the Nick Spencer report and also the DC event report, as well as find out some of the new things in your local comic store. So let's get to it. With me now is Ian M. Cullen, who's the head honcho of SciFiPulse.net and also the main host of SFP Now, another podcast that we do together. And this is actually the beginning of a crossover that we're going to do discussing Radical Comics. So, Ian, welcome to this show. You're used to welcoming me to the other show. This is my chance to welcome you.
I know, and this actually feels kind of weird.
It's kind of different for you, I guess. But you got something in the mail that is a lot of people are going to be jealous about. You got a goodie box from Radical Comics. Why don't you tell us what was in it?
Oh, yeah, I got a massive goodie box. You know, they sent me the first two issues of ERP, which I've read, and it was very good. Sorry, I was bringing my paperback full of comics that we're going to be discussing on the other show.
Right.
Well, I found out ERP is basically an update of the story of Wyatt Earp, the feud between the Earps and the Pinkertons. It's set in the near future. I think it's set around about 2030, something like that. I mean, you've read it yourself, so
right.
I think it starts off with Morgan. He's basically being a bit of a naughty boy, taking the law into his own hands, but off the books, so to speak.
Right,
and it all seems to be told in flashback.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing I like about ERP very much is that it's a very unique and a sort of a modern spin on all that. I like the fact that television's largely involved with how they get set up. They become media darlings, and I just got a huge kick out of that. You like what you've read so far?
Yeah, I've read the first two issues, and I really enjoyed what I've read so far. I like the fact that, you know, it says in this book that, you know, something started to happen which hasn't happened before in a long time, and that is that all the criminals and all the crooks that got onto a Wyatt Earp's list became media celebrities, sort of thing, which is true, because if you go back to the Wild West, you know, you had Bingy the Kid, William H. Barney, and although he was an outlaw, he was a media celebrity because they made comic and books about him. I really enjoyed that sort of little reference back to the Wild West. And I also enjoyed the fact that because things have been so hard to police since the banks collapsed and everything, that they, you know, brought back an old law concerning dueling.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting little twists in that book. I think it's a nicely put together comic. You know, I were discussing off air that a lot of the radical stuff always seems to lend itself very nicely to other media. And you were saying that you thought this would make a great television show.
Yeah, I think it'd make a better television show than a movie, to be honest, because I think in some ways it's perhaps a little bit too deep for a standalone movie. And, you know, I read somewhere, I think it's over at Joe Blow, that Sam Raimi is actually attached to direct a movie version of the comic. But, you know, for your listeners out there, it's Saints and Sinners, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's a really good read. I also got sent one of your favourites, which I haven't read yet, but I'm quite fascinated. I mean, the cover says it all, Driver for the Dead.
Yeah, it's a very good book. When you get to the last part, a lot of things get explained really nicely. And I think that really, you know, was a great exclamation point for the comic.
Well, I was actually showing it my brother-in-law yesterday, who's not a comic book fan. He's never read a comic in his life, other than the Beano and Dandy. And he was looking through it, and he just said that just by looking at the visuals alone, that it'd just make a, you know, spectacular, you know, horror movie.
Yeah. Again, I think that, Driver for the Dead would make a good movie, I think, because it's got a complete story in the several issues altogether. I think Earp has several other, sub-stories going on that would lend itself to television with an overarching story. But I think that the Driver for the Dead would make a wonderful movie. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. And the other one I was sent was The Last Days of American Crime, Remender and Greg Tuccini.
Yeah, that's a very different comic from the others. It's much more of a American story in the sense of more ordinary Americans as opposed to Earp, who's sort of a extraordinary American, if you want to look at it that way. It's very dark, a very moody, a very gritty comic. I think it would be a good motion picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've read the synopsis of The Last American Crime, and it sounds like a really interesting sort of science fiction premise.
Mm-hmm.
It is on the list of things to read. I'm actually reading Time Bomb at the moment.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. The trade is out now, and as I've mentioned before, this is one of the great ones. Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray doing the writing. You've also got Paul Galassi doing the art. So it's a great winning combination, and that just came out recently. So I know you're only partway through it at this point, but why don't you give us your impressions?
I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm about halfway through. It's quite deep. There's quite a lot of subplots going on with characters as well. Like, two of the characters that are sent back in time, they've just recently divorced.
Mm-hmm.
There's still that sort of like friction there. So that's causing some quite interesting character moments in terms of they're having to sort of like get over themselves in order to work together.
The basic storyline is kind of fascinating to me is that Hitler has set a time bomb to go off, basically. And what it's done is it's decimated the world. And so in order to stop that, they send these people back through an experimental time machine. It was supposed to go before the bomb went off, but instead it sends them back into Nazi Germany. And so they have to sort this whole business out. It's very, very sci-fi. It's also very character-oriented. You're mentioning some of the things that happen, the interaction amongst the crew. What you've read so far is pretty good. When you get to the end, it has an interesting ending. So I think you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I quite enjoyed the fact that they've gone back in time to 1945, World War II Germany as well. And, you got these people and they're all kind of modern. Two of them are black, so right away they're in deep shit right there.
Yeah, Nazi Germany.
and there's quite a clever reference made by one of them to the 1936 Olympics, mm-hmm. which I thought was, rather nice. Because if you remember Jesse Owings,
mm-hmm.
the 1936 Olympics, he sort of like won the long jump and the 100 metres dash and everything. Mm-hmm. And Hitler refused to shake hands with him.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
So that was good. I'm really, really enjoying that one.
Yeah. The stuff you haven't gotten to, I know that you've gotten a copy of the two Hotwire trade paperbacks, which are favorites of mine. And I'm going to be curious to get your reaction when that happens. Maybe we'll talk about that on SFP Now when the time comes.
That'd be good. I've got Hotwire Deep Cut, which is not in trade paperback yet. I've got the three issues of the comic. And they've sent me the trade of the first Hotwire book.
Right. A Requiem for the Dead. Of course, read the trade first and then go into the comics because the story, it's very much of a linear story and you've got to read that first. So, I'll be curious to see what you think of his art and his story because I really am a big fan of his. I got to interview him for SFP Now and it was just a fun thing because I'm such an admirer of what he's doing. The character is a very different character. She's less of an Amazon. She when it comes to fighting, she doesn't like to do it. She thinks she's smarter than everybody else and so what she's doing is she's trying to outsmart the whole rest of the world. So she's very much of a different character from the other. I mean, the other stories we've talked about are pretty much action-oriented stories. Mm. You've got, Time Bomb, which is a military group sent back in the past. You've got Earp, who's sort of an avenging angel or a justice kind of thing. Driver for the Dead is basically this guy who's going around trying to help the dead get to their final destination. And so you've got much more action-oriented things. And then when you get to Hotwire, that's not to say that there's not a lot of action going on. There is. She's a very different character compared to the other leads.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to Hotwire, but what I'm looking forward to reading next once I finish Time Bomb, because I've actually listed these in a particular order that I'm going to read them in.
Okay.
I've kind of sort of like split up the more serious ones with fantasy ones, so I'm going serious fantasy. Next one I'm wanting to read is Ian Edginton, Aladdin, Legacy of the Lost.
Yeah, that was fun.
And it looks fantastic. The artwork looks brilliant. I'm just going to read the back for you.
Mm-hmm.
What it's all about already, but for the benefit of listeners out there that may not have, gotten around to it, here's the synopsis. From the mystical city of Shambhala to the ends of the earth comes a tale of magic, mystery, and the motivations of power.
Mm-hmm.
It is the world of Aladdin, better known as Aladdin, thief, gambler, liar, and cheat. Aladdin's reckless soul falls under the eye of the sorcerer Quasim, who has spent his life scouring the sands of the Dreaming Jewel. This lost relic of shattering power will enable Quasim to steal the magic of the djinn, the lamp, and reshape the world in his own malicious design. But to do so, he requires a mystical ability carried within Aladdin's blood, power that not even Aladdin himself knows about. An epic adventure that twists the classic saga into dark, unexplored territories with multi-Eisner-nominated writer Ian Edgerton.
It's a great story. While the other ones are more realistic, this one's much more fantastic. And I think the art really lends itself to it. Again, when you get to the end, there's several surprises on the way. It's a nicely told story. It's one of the things that got me into Radical, actually, was the Aladdin comic. So I think that's something definitely worth reading. If people haven't picked that one up, I think that would be a nice counterbalance to the more realistic and the grittier comics that they provide.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, another one that sent me is Legends the Enchanted. By Nick Percival. Actually, wasn't Percival one of King Arthur's knights? He was, wasn't he?
I thought so.
So it's actually by Percival. You know, forget Nick. You know, Nick, the other guy. Percival was a cool one.
You know, that's one I actually haven't read. I'll be interested to hear what you think of that one.
Well, I've not read it yet, but I've got it in hardback. And the premise sounds really good. Here's how to sign it. Legends, the Enchanted, really is visually fantastic. Radigan has given me a glimpse of a new and freakish world that I'll be excited to visit again. That's from Ain't It Cool News. The story of the Enchanted is a wonderful twist on these characters. The world is dark yet beautiful at the same time. That's from the Baltimore Examiner. Nick Percival's legend serves up a magical world that is both realistic and surreal. That's from Hero Spy. Basically, this is how they're saying it. This blurb: you think you know them? Think again. Violently ripped from the pages of folklore emerges the Enchanted. This band of supernatural immortals inhabits a steampunk realm infested by nightmarish creatures, where nature, technology, and foul magic are in constant conflict. When the mutilated remains of a half-wooden, half-mechanical warrior, Pinocchio, are discovered, Wolf Hunter, Red Hood, and Giant Killer Jack realize that their protective spell of immortality has been broken. Jack and Red, with the help of the other enchanted mercenaries such as Goldilocks and psychic examiners Hansel and Gretel, team up on an adventure to stop whatever or whoever is eliminating their powers and destroying their kind.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the big bad wolf.
Probably. That sounds really cool.
I get a kick because often these days we run into people who turn the classic legends into comic characters. We've seen that several times, and so I'm not terribly surprised they're using that kind of thing. But I love the fact that instead of Red Riding Hood, it's Red Hood. They're trying to modernize and make things just a little bit darker, and I get a kick out of that. I never read that book, so I'm really interested to hear what it's about.
Well, I've got it in hardback. They sent me the hardback edition.
Wow.
I read the back of it yesterday along with Aladdin, and I thought, wow, I can't wait to get into this one because it's sort of like that sort of thing's right on my street, as you well know. I mean, I also kind of like the Fables books by Bill Wilmington. Although I'm not really a huge fan of the art in those books.
Right.
They're a bit too cartoony.
Yeah, a lot of the times when they do stories that are supposed to be fantastic characters, the artwork gets sort of scratchy and sketchy. And I don't think that's the way to do it. I think the way to do it is to actually make it a little more realistic. So I'm a little surprised when they do those kinds of things.
Okay. Getting to the bottom of the pile now. We've got Hercules, the Thracian Wars by Steve Moore, with art by Amira Wijaya. These names are a mouthful. It basically tells the story of Hercules in his darkest hours. When the Thracian king summons the Greek hero and his six battle-worn companions to mould the Thracian army into a bloodthirsty, ruthless killing machine, the son of Zeus rushes to answer the call of war and gold. But within the nation of Thrace lies the epic tale of war, murder, deception and sacrifice that shows Hercules how far from grace he has fallen and what he must accomplish for redemption.
That one sounds good, too. I don't think I've read that one either. One of the books I know that you've gotten that's going to be important as we go along is Shrapnel. I think you've gotten the two editions of Shrapnel. two collected editions. That has actually been turned into a video game on the iPhone. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. It's a very much of a war story. It's a little murky at times, but I think that's because they're trying to show things that are a little hard to grasp. Those things in the middle of war sometimes, especially these kinds of mechanical things, are a little tough. To show in the video game because it's moving a lot faster, and I think it'll be a lot easier. But I think the shrapnel is something that's going to be important because I know they're already trying to convert that into other media.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, while you're talking about shrapnel, I was just flicking through Hercules and looking at the art, and the art is absolutely lovely. It's spectacular. I've got the other Hercules one, which is the Knaves of Kush, which is the second one. And in that one, he goes to Egypt.
I haven't seen either of those, so you've got stuff I've never read, which is, you know, kind of cool. I guess the person we should thank is Teddy Cavugos at Radical Publishing, who sent it to you. And so thanks, Teddy. Hope you get to hear this. The reason why we're doing this is sort of a very much in the crossover vein for the comics love to do. They love to crossover from one book to the other. In fact, one of the books this week in Batman, there's an Azrael crossover that started in Batman. It's going to move over to Red Robin. So it's comics things to have crossovers like this, and that's why we're doing this. What's going to happen in a week or two is we hope to have an interview with some important people at Radical Publishing. So what we're going to do is that'll be part two. It'll continue on in SFP Now, and we'll get to talk with them a little bit about their perspective, about what they're trying to accomplish, about how Radical started and where they're trying to go. So this is kind of a prequel to that, and we will get to that, I think, in an upcoming episode of SFP Now.
Cool. I'm looking forward to listening to the shows.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, thanks to Teddy Cavugos for getting the materials so that he can kind of get caught up a little bit on some of the stuff that's happened in the last couple of months. I've got a lot of these already.
Well, you know, I've not read the Hercules stuff yet, but it does look very, very good.
Yeah. One of the things we're going to talk with them about is their, you know, use of painted art rather than drawn and things like that. They're very much of a visual comic as opposed to, you know, with art that's drawn by pencil or by pen or on the computer now. This is much more of a painted feel, and it communicates a very different, you know, set of circumstances than the drawn art does. And I know both Ian and I have really liked what we've seen of it. It's just great stuff.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see some of it on, you know, maybe them try to do some of it on a more matte finish sort of thing. Because at the moment, yeah, we get the shiny paper and the image is really, really neat out. But I think, you know, on some of the more noirish titles, you know, like American Crime sort of thing, that sort of thing would probably look better on more of a matte finish style of paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I really like about Radical, and I've mentioned this, and I think it's something that bears repeating, is that they do their trade paperbacks really well. Some other people I can think of, and I won't mention by name, when they put together a trade, they reduce the size so that it's harder to read. But Radical does it full bore, full size, glossy paper, so that everything just sort of leaps out, and it's really worth keeping when you get one. So I think hats off to Radical for doing it that way.
Yeah, and I want to make one very quick note about the art as well before we finish up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you should actually buy ERP, Saints and Sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you guys are listening to this show, don't buy ERP, Saints and Sinners. We're going to send the Pinkertons after you. But, you know, basically, the artwork in ERP, Saints and Sinners, although it's set in the near future, so it's set in 2030s, the artwork, it kind of has a very, very Old West feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the way that they've covered it and shaded it. You know,
there's a lot of brown, I noticed, when I was reading that. Browns and reds and things like that that sort of give you sort of an Out West feel.
It's really, really cool. It's really nicely done.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things at Radical. We're looking forward to working with them in the future and promoting their great product because they do a lot of great things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Ian, for being on, and we'll catch you on SFP Now.
No problem. I hope you enjoy editing this show.
This is my turn this time. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Did you come to Earth for the music and stay for the science fiction? Join a guided tour of the minds that make science fiction great. Get on our cosmic double-decker tour bus at www.balticonpodcast.org and see all the sights. Coming up on our right, Time Shifted for your viewing pleasure, are fascinating interviews with writers, fans, and scientists. Streaming in on our left are author readings, congoing tips, and essays. And at the end of the tour, there's always more of that great music that brought you here in the first place. So climb aboard, strap in, and hold on to your petty pallops. It's the Balticon Podcast Tour to the ends of space and time.
www.balticonpodcast.org.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review,
dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
And let's get to the Nick Spencer Report, something I like to do on a weekly basis. This week, Morning Glory's number 8 is out, and the kids in that school are learning things the hard way. They're really doing some nasty things to each other, and the teachers and adults around them, so if you're not reading Morning Glory's, you should be. Also, Thunder Agents number 5 is out. It's a little slow-moving. There is some action in the book, thankfully, but it just seems like it's taking a little while for things to take off in Thunder Agents, so I think he's doing this as more of a cerebral comic than the others, and that's not a bad thing. I like Thunder Agents, so I'm going to continue to buy it. The last one that's out this week is Iron Man 2.0 number 2. He's got a really unique spin on Rhodey, who is War Machine. And it's a good comic, although I don't know if Rhodey's going to survive this issue. We'll find out whether or not next time. You got to buy issue 3 to find out. It's a very good book. We come to find out what happens to the armor when some of the hydraulics gets turned off. It's really tough to move. So Mr. Spencer's putting Rhodey through the paces. And that's the Nick Spencer Report this week. As far as the DC special events goes, there's not a terrible lot going on except for Brightest Day number 22. We've got two issues to go, and that's going to be the conclusion of this bi-monthly series, as well as the Generation Lost for the Justice League. So in a way, I'll be sorry when they get done. Brightest Day's been called 52 Light, which was a good thing. They've basically turned into killing people left and right. And I don't understand for the White Lantern, which is supposed to be the Lantern of Life, why they're killing everyone as fast as they are towards the end is kind of interesting. But we'll find out. Atlas Comics also put out two books this week. Grim Ghost number 1, which a lot of people thought was going to come out last week, didn't show up until this week. As well as Phoenix number 1. If you're looking for a comics company that hasn't really done a lot yet and you want to get in on the ground floor, I would recommend Atlas. These two books are kind of fun. Grim Ghost is the darker and grittier one, obviously, and Phoenix is about a guy who keeps getting his powers revitalized by being killed and then brought back from the dead. So if you're interested in those kinds of things, the art's good, story's good. We're going to see the three characters cross over here very shortly. These two plus Wolf, which came out 2 weeks ago. We'll get to see all these characters interact in the modern era, in the current day. Even though Wolf started out back in the Barbarian days. So they're good. I think that Atlas is off to a good start. One of my favorites, Darkwing Duck number 10, is out, which is always a good book. I just love the premise on which this is based. And so if you like Darkwing Duck, if you like a little comedy mixed in with your adventure, then you'll really enjoy this book. An interesting book that's out is Ruse number 1. Marvel bought the cross-gen characters and put them into the Marvel universe, basically. It's not exactly true, I guess. They're Marvel comics, but no sign of Ruse actually teaming up with Spider-Man or something like that. But I guess they're trying to draw in some more female readers, and one of the ways to do that is with the cross-gen characters, who drew a lot of comics readers who were ladies. So that's kind of an interesting thing. Stan Lee's Soldier Zero is out number 6. Which is a good one. That book was started out by Mr. Cornell working with Stan Lee, and now he's handed it off to other writers. I still think the story is a fascinating one about a gentleman who's handicapped, who's physically impaired, and who basically ends up becoming part of an armor that when it's activated allows him to jump up and do things. It's a little Avatar-like, but I think the story's good. The government has sort of gotten involved all of a sudden. They've come after him, and the whole building that Soldier Zero's in just vanishes. They say it's wiped in the book. So it should be a fun read. I'm going to be curious to see where they go from here. It's an elongated story. It's just like typical comics these days. You don't get a lot of stories that end up in an issue. You might have a small, shorter story. But most of the time, the story's ongoing, and that's the way it is in Soldier Zero. Iceman and Angel number 1 came out, which is kind of a fun book. It's written by Brian Clevenger of Atomic Robo fame. He's the writer of that book and one of the co-creators. It's kind of a fun story. It's Iceman and Angel fighting big bad monsters from Marvel's early days, and so that's quite a lot of fun. Mr. Clevenger, I think, had a good time with it and enjoyed it quite a bit. What's funny was is his partner didn't want to be in it because he didn't want to draw all those wings on the Angel. And so he ended up doing the Earth's Mightiest Heroes book. And he forgot that Thor has a helmet that has wings on it, so he still ended up drawing all sorts of winged things on the helmet. So you got to be careful what you wish for. Young Justice number 2 came out, which is really good. That book after the really terrible issue number 0 has really done a good job and represents the show very well. So if you're not getting enough Young Justice to suit you, and who is, then I would get Young Justice number 2. I'm sorry to see Knight and Squire number 6 of 6 come to an end. It's been a real pleasure to learn a little bit about the British culture. And Knight and Squire has been a wonderful way to do that. Paul Cornell is the writer, and he's been having fun adding as many different characters to the DC universe as he can. All these British heroes, and you have to pick up the books. I couldn't begin to start to list them all. It's a lot of fun. Knight and Squire number 6 of 6. I hope it's collected into a trade so those people who didn't get to buy the individual issues can buy the trade. Power Girl number 22 is great fun. It's got Superman in it. And what's happening is Superman and Power Girl being attacked by a dinosaur. And for some strange reason, they find themselves being injured. The reason that they get injured is revealed at the very end of the comic, so I won't spoil it. But Power Girl number 22 is good. On the other hand, Superman number 709 was just dreadful. The Flash, who's a police scientist, comes across a Kryptonian headband that when he's going to put it on will actually flood his head with Kryptonian information so much that he can't think straight. Now, what scientist worth his salt is actually going to grab some unknown headset and plop it on his noggin, stick it on his head so that the thing can actually do something to him? That, to me, was just poor Mr. Straczynski struggling to figure out how to make this thing wrap up within an issue. She should have taken it back to a laboratory. He should have studied it. He should have poked and prodded it. But instead, what did he do? He stuck it on his head. That's not the Flash. It's not Barry Allen that I know. DC Universe Online Legends continues the story that began in the multiplayer game, the MMO multiplayer game. It's an interesting story because right at the beginning, Luthor kills Superman. Everyone's trying to exist without Superman, even Luthor. So that's kind of a fun book. I like what they're going with that. The DC Universe Legacies number 10 of 10 issue came out. It's wrapping up that sort of a history of the DC Universe through the eyes of a regular policeman. I think that was a good one. It's very much like Marvel's, I suppose, and like Kingdom Come, in that we get to see how DC goes on, not through the hero's eyes, but instead through an average person. So it's been kind of fun. They've done a lot of good things. They've brought in different artists to help portray the proper mood, like the Crisis issue was drawn by George Perez. So you've got those kinds of things going. It's definitely worth getting. I'm sure they'll collect that. Unfortunately, Rebels, which is canceled, has come out. I'm really sorry to see that come to an end. Tony Bedard's been doing a really good job. But the book I really want to promote this week is called Zombie Number 1. If you go to scifipulse.net, what you'll find is an interview of me speaking with John Rosen, who created the character. I got to send several written questions to him, and he responded to me, and I really enjoyed his answers, and I hope you will too. The book is focused on, interestingly enough, an Asian American whose body is taken over by nanotechnology. And what's happening is the nanotech won't allow any imperfections in his body. So he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. His hair, which used to have white hairs in it, now is all black. And he's having to deal with some really outlandish characters and outlandish villains. So if you like something that's a little different, I would say Zombie Number 1, which just came out, get started on that, jump in that. This character started in the Milestone universe back about 20 years ago. And it's great fun to see what they're doing with him now. Jump on right now with this character right now, and you'll get on basically on the ground floor. You don't have to have read the books that came out in Milestone way back when. And that's This Week in Comics. All right, let's look at the strange and wonderful things that are in your comic book store this week. There's an interesting t-shirt that's coming out that has to do with the Star Wars fans. It's one called the Boba Fetish shirt. And before some folks get too excited, the shirt only says, I've got a Boba Fett-ish on the end of it. It doesn't give you any sort of graphic details about Boba Fett. So it's kind of an interesting one. I like that shirt. It's, of course, got a black background. And they also have another one. The company's name is Off-World Designs. They have another one called These Are Not the Geeks We're Looking For, which I kind of like that one. They're referring to a Star Wars thing. There's also Brad Meltzer's Inner Circle Tour t-shirt, which is kind of interesting. Brad Meltzer did Identity Crisis for DC Comics a couple of years ago, so he's somebody I like to keep track of. There's a Captain America, a good old Steve Navy t-shirt that's come out. There are Catwoman statues for the Bishoujo from Japan. There's also a Disney Traditions Tinkerbell figurine that has to do with July. If you're a Whovian, this might be a big week for you at the bookstore. Doctor Who's 11th Doctor Christmas Adventure action figures 3-packs are out. Then, too, there's also action figures for the 7th Doctor's Time in the Ronnies episode. There's also a cyber propaganda Doctor Who set of t-shirts out. There's the Dalek projector alarm clock. And the Doctor Will See You black hoodie. There's also a new radio adventure on an audio CD called Jade Pyramid, Volume 2. I'm also a huge fan of Steve Rude's drawing and Mike Barron's writing. So Draw Nexus Tips and Techniques, the Spiral Bound edition, which is being rescheduled for this week, is out there. You should definitely pick that up if you like his art. There's also a series of action figures having to do with the Family Guy TV show that's animated on Fox. I like to tell the Family Guy story because it has something to do with reviving shows that have been canceled. Family Guy had been let go by Fox and had been moved over to the Cartoon Network. But the ratings were so high on the Cartoon Network and the sales of DVDs so lucrative that Fox had to go and bring the show back, and it's still on Fox until this day. So that's something to learn. If you want to bring your show back, be sure to support it financially. There's also a Slimer statue, which is a light-up version for the character from Ghostbusters. That should be fun for Ghostbusters fans. There's a Green Lantern Stripe Hunter Green set of t-shirts that just come out. If you enjoy the Halo game, there's a bunch of Halo-related action figures and t-shirts that come out this week. So if you enjoy that, then the luster will be on your money. There's also Joker Dark Detective number 1 Military Green t-shirt, which I imagine has the cover from the first issue of Dark Detective. That should be great for those people who enjoy the Joker. Marvel has several items that are out too. The Black Widow statue, a Heroes Playing Cards game single deck, and 2 sets of Mini-Mates, which should be fun for those people who like those little block-shaped characters. There's also a Rogue statue to go with your Black Widow one. The initials SW are big things in the comic shop arena. SW stands for Star Wars, and in the list of things that are coming out every week, they don't need to put the whole Star Wars in there. It just says SW, and you know what you've got. It's Star Wars. There's a Darth Maul light-up statue that's out this week. There's a Figrin Dan mini-bust. There's also a Stormtrooper statue that's out this week. There's also something called the Wheat Machine Red Heather t-shirts, and I don't happen to know what that is. I don't know Star Wars well enough to know that. And since we're getting closer to the Thor movie, there's a whole bunch of Thor things coming out this week. There's something called the Ground and Pound Charcoal t-shirt, which is only an XXL, which is the general size for nerds and geeks. So that's out this week. There's also an Athletic Avenger Red t-shirt, which is in all different sizes. The interesting thing to me is there's a Thor movie basic helmet, which has got to be expensive. It's at the dreaded PI, which means that it costs more than can be allowed to be told, so please inquire, and that's usually a bad sign. There's also a bunch of deluxe action figures from the movie out this week, too, so, oh boy, lots of good things for Thor fans. The Walking Dead Blu-rays and DVDs have come out recently, and they finally hit the comic book stores. You can get the first season with some good extras that Robert Kirkman recommends that you buy, so you can go and buy those now at the comic book stores. On a related subject, there's a book that came out, a hardcover, called Zombie Autopsies, Secret Notebooks from the Apocalypse. And that's an interesting book. It's written by Stephen C. Schlossman, and Andrea Sparacio is the illustrator. There's all kinds of zombie things in there. Here's how it's described at Amazon.com. With the recent successes of films like Zombieland and The Walking Dead, zombies have never been trendier. In this fictional secret notebook describing a zombie research project, Harvard-trained physician and avowed horror fan, Schlossman, capitalizes on the undead craze with an inventively framed apocalyptic tale embellished with black humor. Embedded with the recovered journals of zombie expert Dr. Stanley Blum is the story of a viral research team quarantined on a remote island with specimens from a worldwide plague, otherwise known as zombieism. Alas, the team eventually succumbs to the illness, but not without apparently finding the cure. So now the World Health Organization has released the notebook in an attempt to get somebody to be able to reconstruct the cure. While medical professionals may really enjoy and get a lot of humor in the faux scientific research, the target audience is comprised of horror fans and zombie enthusiasts who frankly won't care. And that's what's in the comic book stores this week. And that's the end of another edition of Wayne's Comics. Be sure to check out the sfp-now.com website to see when the second part of this crossover with the SFP Now podcast will take place about Radical Publishing. But until next week, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.